And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. It is I, the Blue Ranger, who is wearing a lot of red, Michael, being joined by our actual Red Ranger, who is not wearing any red at all.
Who's wearing a lot of purple. I got a purple jacket and a purple headphones, and I'm wrapped in a purple blanket. I am very feeling the Purple Ranger-esque here.
And I'm wearing purple headphones, too, so this works. But it's Sasha.
The one and only, the ever snarky.
Yep. And we got three episodes for you as we are getting near the end of Turbo. This episode, I think we're like at the six episode mark left until we actually do our two-parter to end the season. So this episode, we're doing Cassie's best friend, the Curveball, and Carlos and the Count. Starting off with Cassie's best friend, Cassie's uncannily smart dog, Jetson. Yes, that is what I'm thinking about naming a pet. I want to name it Jetson. Is transformed into a human following a misfire by Tivatox's latest monster, Mr. Gurific. Bulk and Skull are hired to help find the missing dog. While in human form, Jetson, calling himself Jethro, helps cheer Cassie up before she and the other Power Rangers head off to battle not only Mr. Gurific, but also Elgar's repaired Terrorzord. However, the spell begins to wear off to Jethro's shock.
The dog gets zapped by the bad guy, right? And that's how it transforms into a person?
So what ends up really more happening is that there's a sequence here. Okay, back at the park, it's like the second time the Rangers actually fight the Piranatrons. It's actually just Cassie and the dog this time around when there's this attack. And Cassie and the dog chase the monster. There's a moment where the dog's leash gets caught on a sprinkler and it holds the dog back so that way Cassie can have time to recover and then fight the monster. And then the dog then attacks Gurific. And they fall off the cliff, and they go down the cliff, and somehow Gurific shoots the dog with the goo, which turns it human. But we actually never see that. We see the dog appear out of the bushes as a human.
Sure, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, obviously, after we just kind of gave that away, Cassie can't find the dog. They employ Bulk and Skull to help, which they find a little wiener dog
that was actually lost, and they give it back to their owner.
Yeah,
so.
but Jethro or Jet is there, and he's able to go, oh yeah, this dog is Elmo. And it's like, it's kind of funny how Cassie is not able or is ignorant enough to not put one and one together to equal two.
Right, but like, who thinks, oh, here is a really cute guy who really likes animals. He's clearly a dude. My dog turned into a man. Like, your brain does not quite go there, even in Power Ranger universe.
But the thing is, though, but let's put these breadcrumbs out there. He shows up with the leash to give the Cassie at the juice bar.
Uh-huh.
He then about reveals that his name is Jetson, but then goes with Jethro.
Oh, come on. In the last time you and I recorded, they literally said, thanks, Kat, and way to go, Adam, with an earshot of a curator props guy and an entire room full of dancers and judges. I would not be surprised if Cassie did not hear that either.
But hold on. There's more. But then he mentions that he's on vacation with his family and is not from the area. And as they're searching for the dog, he brings up the very specific vet that Cassie has been taking him to. And he goes, what?
Okay, look. So logically, brain goes, this dude's a stalker or a liar. Not, oh, that's my dog turned into a human.
This is also very true.
Like, I think Cassie, like, has this weird moment. She has this, like, weird look on her face at the end of the episode. where she's like, wait, mate, could that have been a thing? But I really wish that she had like either figured it out at the end more blatantly. It was a cute episode overall.
Oh yeah, no, like I
It
think it was definitely.
establishes like
No, go ahead.
it establishes that, you know, Cassie is like a very sweet person, that she likes animals. Jethro is a great dog, truly encompassing man's best friend here, or woman's best friend, and just being like a good dog with like surprisingly not as many cringy moments as I thought they were gonna be.
Yeah. So, but overall, it's definitely one of the better episodes that you and I have watched.
Yeah, but that's kind of a low bar.
This is also true. This is also very true. So the
And also,
Ranger.
why doesn't Jethro just tell her that he's the dog instead of like getting her on this like go weird goose chase of looking for a dog that's not there? Because like I understand he probably doesn't know she's a Power Ranger and that notion is crazy, but like there's aliens that show up every other minute that no one seems to have, like everybody sort of freaks out, right, in some of these episodes, but they're like, oh my God, what's that? The same monsters that have been attacking Angel Grove literally all year.
So anyways, near the end of the episode, the Rangers battle the monster and the dog to the rescue. Like literally the dog, like, 'cause Jeffro has now turned back into Jetson. And he attacks the monster and the Megazord, it's Megazord time, which they use the rescue Megazord for this one.
Yeah.
And then they take on Elgar Zord, the Terror Zord, and this time, apparently, because apparently the episode before, it was missing a screw, so its arm fell off. So this time they put the bolt in to make sure the arm wouldn't fall off. And the monster and then Blue Centaurian would come in to help the Rangers in the battle as well for
I
the
mean, there's a
victory.
couple of these episodes where they're like, oh, we have Sentai footage that involves the Blue Centurion.
Let's
That's
use it.
literally it.
Let's use it. And
Yeah.
then actually, we'll also bring this up a couple times, but like, they show the Phantom Ranger in the opening credits scene, and we never see him, but they don't sh really show Blue Centaurian in the opening credits scene, and yet we see Blue Centaurian.
I think it's because Blue Centurion only shows up in the Sentai footage, while the Phantom, whatever his name is, the Phantom Ranger did have like an arc like not that long ago, like right after Brian and I like reviewed all of the Phantom Ranger, the entire like Phantom Ranger saga.
Oh,
But
yeah.
like the Blue, it's funny because the Blue Centurion shows up for that one episode, right? And then like he doesn't do anything. Like he delivered his Millennium Message and then just kind of sticks around.
Well, that's also not true because the episode before this one, which is the accident, there is a scene legitimately of Blue Centaurian about to ticket a car for not being properly parallel parked because it was too far off the curb, and Carlos is right there.
What a freaking stickler, but also like, wow, he's useless.
So it's a very interesting concept of Blue Centaurian and Phantom
He's
Ranger at
useless,
this
is
point.
what you're
Yeah.
saying. That's what I keep hearing.
Probably.
I mean, like, look, his Zord is helpful. I will say that in some of these battles. But, oi, okay. Yeah, so the dog was cute. The bad guys are dumb.
The good guys are dumb.
I just have a question. Whose clothes did Jethro steal? Like, who just leaves like a t-shirt and some shorts lying around
Just on a
on a par
bench.
in a park?
Yeah, probably somebody who is just swimming in the lake, I guess. Somebody is without clothes. They should send Bulk and
Why?
Skull to do use their detective work to figure it out.
Also, it is just like so nice to see Bulk and Skull just be Bulk and Skull and not chimpanzees.
Yes, because everyone should note the last time Sasha and I had an episode, Bulk and Skull were still chimpanzees, and we had only seen Carlos and Ashley introduced at that time.
I mean,
N
since then, like
barring group
Brian.
episodes. Barring group episodes.
Yeah. But it also just like it bears repeating every time because it is really nice that they're not chimpanzees anymore.
Yes.
It was really grating.
So,
But they're job hunting. So
yes.
that's poor boys.
Yeah, they're definitely job hunting. And like this one, they're actually looking for jobs, and like they get embarrassed by Jetson because he goes out and gets a newspaper for them, because apparently Skull brought like a newspaper in that was a month old, and Jetson brings in the newspaper that's from that day. So,
He's a very good dog. But
so
yeah,
yeah.
cute semi-Cassie centered episode, even though it's mostly about Jethro.
Yeah.
I mean Jetson. I mean J-Jets, Jet, the dog.
Yeah, we'll just call him Jet. It's okay. And the funny thing is, for the actor, nobody knows who the actor is that played Jethro.
Is he not credited in the
Yeah. On the Ranger Wiki, it literally shows question marks as Jethro.
episode? Hold on a second. This is something that needs to be verified. But in the meantime, as Sasha does some last minute Googling.
As I also hop on the IMDb, as
Because
we,
that's what we really care about here.
yes, because we want to know who played this one dude. Oh, and by the way, there is no Demetria in this episode, which was nice.
Yeah, but she's gotten better.
She has gotten better, but still nice. Where are we? Where are we? Cassie's best friend.
Narita is credited as the voice of Jethro. But for some reason, it only says voice.
So wait, hold on. You said Jeffro, yeah, Ken Narita, Jeffro's voice, but the thing is, that is definitely not Ken Narita as the actor of Jeffro.
Yeah. That's really weird.
Yep. So with that, we
I have
did
so
it.
many more questions now.
Yep. Don't we all? Then moving on to our next episode of Please Get These Ads Out of Here. No, I'm just kidding. It's called The Curveball, which is TJ is stumped by a new kid, Heath, who has a nasty curveball no one on the baseball team can hit. Divatox's
Because
newest month.
everybody else on his team is bad. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you during the recap.
Divatox's newest monster, Strikeout, similarly has an unhittable toss. Then when Heath's egotistical showboating nearly gets himself killed, which was kind of cool to see a Power Ranger see someone almost get themselves killed, TJ takes the effort to save him. Heath returns the favor by showing TJ how to hit a curveball, which might be essential for his rematch with Strikeout. So going into this, TJ and Carlos are playing recreational baseball against another team of teens. And the score is
With
literally,
that one guy who's a jerk.
yes, with the one guy who's pitching, that's a jerk. And it's 3-3. TJ gives his teammate some batting advice against the current pitcher, which was awful advice. As somebody who used to play baseball, you never choke up on your bat that high. You want to have your hand more near the base of the bat because that way you have more control. Anyway,
Right,
Sasha
but that
doesn't
wasn't
care.
general. No, but that also wasn't general pitching advice. That was advice specifically regarding that pitcher.
Yeah, but the thing is though, is that even still, he had him the advice of how to hit against the batter was the right, but the way of holding the bat was way wrong.
Oh, yeah, I don't
Because
care.
the thing is that and I'm doing this hand motion that Sasha's like, yeah, I don't care. And
I'm not even looking at him.
everyone else is like, I don't know what you're doing. But if you don't have your bottom hand on the base, like where the little knob is at the base of the bat, you have literally no control of the bat. Because when you're holding it choking up near the top, you're just gonna like
Okay,
destroy your you're just gonna
I
destroy
got
your
it.
wrist with the bat. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah, so the new kid shows up. What was
Heath.
his name again? Okay. He's kind of unnecessarily hostile.
But hold on, but before we get to Heath, Los and TJ have to go away real quick to do a battle. They come back. TJ then hits a home run off
Yeah,
of
he
the
does.
original guy. Then Heath shows up and then strikes out TJ, which makes absolutely no sense. I mean, like,
yeah, that's the part I was confused about, because like TJ already hit the homer. Why didn't he run the bases and end it there?
No, he did run the bases. Like, Heath showed up as soon as TJ
So
hit
yeah,
home
why
plate.
did he hit twice?
Yeah, that's the thing that doesn't make sense. So it's like the other team is acting like they won because the dude struck out TJ, but TJ had already hit the home run, so his team technically won. I am so confused. This is not how baseball works. This actually kind of makes me glad that Power Rangers has never touched hockey, because my heart would die. No, legitimately, this is a fact. I know I'm jumping ahead to like the several other seasons ahead.
Hold on. Football,
Basketball.
baseball,
Basketball.
Soccer, basketball.
Floorball.
Kickball.
Yep. Dodgeball.
Dodgeball. Yeah, hockey is tricky because you can't really play it in a field.
But you could still do street hockey. You can have a winter. You can have
Really
a.
never done hockey?
You can do a winter themed episode where ice hockey's involved. Like, there are ways to make it happen, but Power Rangers has never touched hockey.
Probably for the best. Okay.
Probably
So
with how
let's
they
get
butcher
back
every
into
other
this.
sport, it is for the best. Because my
Yeah,
heart would
let's
weep.
yeah. You'll have to suck it up just like the baseball fans did when they're dying over this episode.
At least the
But
monster was
obviously the
cool.
baseball. Eh. Sentai footage.
But anyways, Diva talks on launches strikeout, and the Rangers have difficulty hitting the pitches.
You know, we don't have to go through everything, every part of the episode bit by bit. That's not relevant. You already gave the summary.
Yeah.
So we can just talk about the episode overall and sort of what works, what doesn't work. So I think it's interesting that, and this really sets, I think, a good aspect of TJ's character, is that TJ is strategic. And if he's not good at something, if he's not sure why something is happening, he's going to find out and he's going to strategize. So when he couldn't hit the curveball from Heath, he goes to the library to look at batting techniques. And Heath kind of snides at him, like, that's not going to help you hit my curveball. But it is an important element, I think, of his character, that he is the kind of person that's going to do some research, that's going to strategize. And that is a really important plot element that we do see carried over into next season. So the what's interesting, I think the most interesting thing, obviously, is the scene where TJ is trying to save Keith as Keith goes over the cliff. And I'm like, wow, actual life or death situation in Power Rangers?
What a coincidence, or what a shock.
It is a shock. Because normally nobody dies in Power Rangers. Nobody gets really, like, actually that hurt in Power Rangers. Like, we rarely, anytime the Rangers get hurt, they either get hurt while morphed, or they sort of just get, like, I mean, I don't know, there was the whole Rocky and the falling on the floor thing in the
Broke his
Turbo
back.
movie.
And broke his back.
Yeah, but those are, like, the only two instances of, like, I think, serious injuries that we've seen. At least that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, and then obviously Heath starts having a change of heart because of TJ saving his life, and to the dismay of the other guy from the other team that's a complete jerk.
I thought it was actually super cute how first he's like, hey, TJ, you saved my life. Let me show you how to, like, throw the curveball. But, like, don't tell anybody. And then literally the next scene, he's helping the other kid.
Who's really bad
With
at
the
baseball.
curveball. It was actually really, really sweet. And the actor playing Keith did a pretty decent job by Power Ranger standards.
And nobody knows who played Heath either.
Oh my god. Power Rangers, why are you like this?
But the
I'm gonna have to
jerk.
go back into these episodes and actually watch the credits now.
But the jerk, well, I mean, if it's not in the credits, they wouldn't be able to do it. But we know who plays Ricky, the really bad baseball player.
Which one was Ricky?
Ricky was the one who got the initial like coaching advice from TJ at the beginning of the
Ah,
game.
yes.
And is always kind of like, man, I'm not good. It's like, yeah, because you're not.
Well, from what I understood in this episode, TJ and Carlos are basically carrying this team.
Yeah. More so TJ than anything. Because we don't see Carlos do anything. Should be noted that this is also the last time we see the Turbo Megazord destroy a monster. I know Sasha is completely thrilled by that.
Like don't even notice the Zords anymore. Mostly because it's just like it's all. I think this is where I talked about this in some of the first episodes that I recorded with Brian, which is that in these episodes, you because the technology's changed a little bit, now you're seeing a much larger contrast, in my opinion, between what is American footage and what is very clearly Japanese footage. And you know, kids are less likely to notice it, but for me, it sort of pulled me out of the show.
Yeah, like I was already out around like mid season two. Maybe a
Oh,
little,
I
no,
was definitely already out by this point, but I.
maybe a little later season two, just because I know the power
Like.
transfer had done happened. And so Adam, Aisha, and Rocky had then became, and I think I saw episodes following that, but not everything following that.
Yeah, I caught a few episodes here and there in reruns on Disney Channel or Disney XD, Jetix, whatever it was. And so I was like less, like I don't have any kind of nostalgia. Not like I really ever did have nostalgia goggles for MMPR. So it's just interesting how things are like not working specifically in this season. And I think part of the problem, and you know, we'll also talk about it more in the finale, is the fact that I think Car Ranger was supposed to be like a much more like a spoof comedy based thing. And so there's this kind of imbalance happening of like the tone of Power Rangers versus the tone of Car Ranger or whatever its official name is.
Yeah, especially knowing that, and you had the name right, it is Car Ranger. Brian would be very proud of you. But one of the interesting things is that it's also been known that the Sentai is always a little bit more mature than Power Rangers is too. So.
Which I guess only helps the contrast further here because this is a much more like comedic spoof season
Yeah.
in terms of the Sentai. Look at me starting a conversation about the Sentai. I'm so clever. I'm done now.
Nerd.
Yeah, but no, overall, these two, like the two episodes so far, are really good character-driven episodes that give us either a little bit of an insight into a character like Cassie and the animal thing and just like being a nice person. And then TJ also being a really nice person, but also like showing really why TJ is actually a really good leader.
Yeah.
Like TJ is one of my favorite Red Rangers.
It's because he got baked into a pizza, isn't it? Don't lie. It's because he got baked into a pizza. For the record,
Carlos
she
of the count.
so for the record, Sasha smiled and then looked away.
No, it's really not because they got baked into a pizza, but
That's Ben's
it's
reason why he
because
loves TJ.
that is Ben's reason. That's not Sasha's reason. Because Sasha is Sasha and Sasha's not Ben. What I really like about TJ is I like the fact that he is a strategic character. He thinks things through. He's very earnest. Like the casting here is just we like we'll talk about it more in the finale, but like at, when I think we talked about how like the only real characters in Power Rangers ultimately were Bulk and Skull, and now I that's not as much the case. I think Maybe because we've just seen, like, you know, TJ, we've already seen, like, the other gang leave. But, like, I don't know, Ashley and Cassie and Carlos and TJ feel more like real teenagers.
Maybe it's because they're still in high school.
We don't really see them chewing too much high school things. That's in the next couple episodes. But yeah, but also I think we see them having more flaws in a way that's like less PSA, right? Like there wasn't, like if this is an episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, right? The whole TJ and the curveball, there would have been a lecture from the Rangers about, you know, Unmorphed, obviously, about how like teamwork is important and competition isn't everything. And how you should really just be not a jerk to people. But we don't have this PSA stuff here. Here is just a fun episode about like this kid who has a near-death experience and changes his ways without getting into the preachy stuff.
Yep.
And we don't actually like, I'm trying to think through like some of the TJ and like episodes, because like again, we record these out of order, so my episodes with Brian were a little bit longer. In my further away in my memory. So I don't remember seeing them doing as much as the other Rangers were, at least in Mighty Morphin, right? There is like there's less charity gatherings and there's, I mean, well, I take it back. Maybe that'll change as we record the next three episodes, the episodes after this one.
Yep.
But so far, like TJ feels like a human being to me.
Yeah. Which brings us to Carlos and the Count.
And I retract literally everything I just said.
Going into this episode. While on his way home from Balkan Skull's scary film festival, Carlos is ambushed and bitten in the park by Divatox's latest monster, Count Nocturne. The next day, Carlos slowly starts to develop the attributes of a vampire, and the Power Rangers quickly try to cure him and take down Count Nocturne. Meanwhile, Bulk and Skull are determined to slay Carlos before he turns his friends into vampires, too. I love this episode just because of Bulk
I'm
and Skull.
allergic. I'm allergic.
I don't care. This is a fun episode because of Bulk and Skull.
Yes, I will. I Bulk and Skull were fun, but here's the thing about Sasha. I'm vampire intolerant. It is a natural, like, it's hard to explain, but I am essentially allergic to vampire content. It just, I cannot sit through it. I don't know what it is.
All right, we're going to break out
It
the
is.
therapy chair real quick. And Sasha, would you like to explain to us why? What vampire movie did this to you, or franchise did this to you?
I don't know. Like the only like vampire thing I've been able to sit through was Mel Brooks's Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Which is an awful movie and possibly one of the worst movies he ever made.
Right, but it's still stupid enough that I can sit through it. But the only other vampire things like the original Van Helsing play, I can sit through that. But for some reason, all of these other vampire shows, vampire movies, I cannot sit through it. I
Okay.
get bored.
So real quick. Blade. I'm talking about the Wesley Snipes
No.
movies. Can't you
Nope.
can't. Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire, which was the one with
Never
Brad
been able
Pitt.
to watch it all the way through.
Queen of the Damned.
Never heard of it.
That's technically the sequel to Interview with a Vampire.
Definitely didn't know that then. So,
It's also the
look,
last
I
act.
have.
It's also the last acting credit of Aaliyah because when she was flying home after filming her stuff for the movie, her plane crashed and she was unfortunately killed in the accident, which is also one of the biggest
I
things about the
don't know who
film.
that is, but
She was a
I'm very sorry about that.
musician who played the
Yeah,
queen who
so
played the queen in the film. So.
even couldn't sit through Van Helsing, couldn't sit through Vampire Diaries or Twilight or any of those other things.
You know what? We'll just blame Twilight. It's okay. We can blame Twilight. Or you know what? Because Mel and you know this because I'm a diehard Mel Brooks fan just like you, it pains me to say that Dracula Dead and Loving It is literally the worst film that Mel Brooks ever made. Maybe that's what turned you
Anyway,
away
it's
from
been like,
vampires.
no, I don't think it is. Because like, even before that, I just like, I never liked like vampires things. Like, I don't know. Maybe part of it is like in middle school, everybody's obsessed with vampires because of Twilight. And I'm just like, you're all dumb, but whatever. I don't know. Point being, it hasn't changed. I still cannot watch any of these other vampire shows that are out now.
So for the record,
I
everyone,
even do True Blood.
so for the record, everyone, by the way, first four seasons really good, last three seasons, holy crap, it was bad.
We'll never be able to get through it, so it's
But
fine.
anyways, we're just gonna blame Twilight. I think that's a fair assessment. Moving
Yes,
on.
so
But anyways,
thank
Bulk
you.
and Skull have a film festival and they're actually making money. They found
Yeah,
something to
and
be
it's actually a
successful
good
in.
idea.
They actually found something to be successful in. And obviously,
For
as
one episode.
yeah. And obviously, as mentioned, Carlos gets attacked by Count Nocturne. He gets bitten. It doesn't really look like he gets bitten, but they insinuate it. And he has the bite marks
Kind
on his
of looks
neck.
like the monster wants to give him a kiss, not gonna lie.
Probably more wanted to give him a hickey, but more than anything. But
No, Diva Talk does not discriminate in the kind of monsters that she hires.
this is very true. Also, Carlos, after the next day, doing his best Lost Boys look, which also I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this. Lost Boys, which is a vampire movie starring Kiefer Sutherland and Alex Winter. Really bad movie. I don't see the lore of that film at all. But looking at Carlos, he looked like he was trying to do his best Lost Boys type of look with all the leather and everything that he was wearing. And
I
hey,
thought he was just covering up because sunlight bad.
I mean, that is the point, but the outfit choice itself of what he was wearing and the look that they're trying to go for, that's what it kind of felt to me. But hey, we got Principal Kaplan. In his last
Existed.
appearance in Power Rangers.
Is that really his last appearance?
It was his
Damn.
last appearance in Power Rangers, and it was actually to give a graduated Bulk and Skull detention.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
But it was also funny because obviously, like at this point now, Bulk and Skull, they actually witness the monster attacking Carlos. And they're like, oh no, this isn't good. And so, like, they're like dressed in like vampire hunter attire and they got like garlic
Garlic dripped
necklaces.
all over them.
Yeah. And like, and one of the interesting notes is Skull gives Justin a piece of garlic because he's looking at it at them, going, like, what are you doing? And he literally just hands him a thing of garlic to the
But what's
live.
interesting here as well is that at first Justin's like, guys, come on. But then like, and this is like it's something that Brian and I talked about, which is that this cast has a much different relationship with Bulk and Skull than the original gang did. And it's so much better.
Yeah, and but yeah,
So
so
like they don't dismiss or make the point being that like they don't dismiss or make fun of Bulk and Skull. They are actually, oh wait, Bulk and Skull are right.
well, I think also a big part of it is that it was established from day one that Bulk and Skull were, at the time, the bullies to the actual original cast. So obviously, I know, yes, air quote bullies, but I think because they had to grow from that episode, and the fact that like the full first season, Bulk and Skull are just like they're trying to be the bullies, but they always have them be thwarted by the Rangers themselves. The second season is them trying to find out the identities of the Rangers, and then the third season is really where they start growing, and that's where the relationship with the Rangers start changing. Because of all that, the fact that we bring in essentially five, because you include Justin in this, five new people to interact with Bulk and Skull after going through everything that they've been through. It makes it easier for these five to have a bit more of a normal relationship with Bulk and Skull compared to the original five slash six.
For sure. But it's sort of like it's a different like take, and it's like we'll talk about their journey later on, of course,
Yep.
but it's nice to see.
Yeah. So we get to the library, and this is when Justin really starts figuring out what Bulk and Skull were talking about. Because he's questioning Carlos about the sunglasses and he puts the garlic down. And I loved how
Just
Roger,
recoil.
yeah, I love how Roger Velasco acted in this scene. Like the way he acted in this scene, the moment that Justin put down the garlic was fantastic. Because he sees the garlic and he's just like, What's that? And Justin's like, oh, it's garlic. Just Skull gave it to me. And he's just like, he kind of pushes it to the side with the book, and then he touches it with his hand and it burns him, or he reacts like it burned him or something. And then there's this moment where I think maybe the others were there, and he literally takes the textbooks when none of them are looking, and he pushes the garlic with the textbook to the other end of the table. I'm like, I saw that. I'm like, that's awesome. I like how, that was played off completely. And Justin's just like, y'all don't know what the hell's going on with him? Y'all don't see this? And even Divatox is like, yo, that kid is onto it already. We need to stop him.
Yep.
So.
Also, there's like a scene later on where like they're attacked by the Piranatrons and Cassie just like kicks boy. That's it. That's the note. Cassie's awesome.
And then the Rangers fully do learn about the vampirism for Carlos. He gets cured partially, and then they do the Zord battle, and then they win. And Carlos is fully restored to his normal self again.
What's also interesting is that Carlos at first, so the other Rangers quickly figure it out too, because his reflection is in the mirror and everything. So they take him, like, no
Well,
hesitation. They
no,
just
they
take
don't
him to
take him right
Sarah.
away. They don't take him right away because he turns into a bat and flies away.
Oh, that's right. So they wait, they
And
capture him at the
so,
blood drive.
yeah, TJ and Ashley catches him at the blood drive and then takes him to Alpha.
Yeah. So they have this like temporary cure thing, and they have to destroy the monster. Pretty standard Power Ranger stuff. You got to destroy the monster to cure Carlos. But then there's like this weird bit in the Sentai footage where the monster can manipulate Carlos, which was like never anywhere else in the episode.
Yeah, it's
But he
like,
also doesn't interact with the monster, so I guess, but it's still weird.
yeah, it's like, why do you wait for the Zord battle to interact and try to take
Well, because
control over Carlos?
I think the initial plan was to infect Carlos so Carlos infects the other Rangers. They just didn't count on Bulk and Skull.
This is also very true, because without Bulk and Skull figuring it out before,
Justin wouldn't have figured it
well,
out.
no. Well, they didn't have to figure it out because they were there when it happened. But if it wasn't for them to tip off Justin, and then Justin going, yeah, whatever, and then actually seeing it for himself, then the dominoes started really falling. So good job, Bulk and Skull. This is a Bulk and Skull episode. Forget Carlos.
I mean, this is true because nothing, we don't really get to know anything about Carlos's personality in this episode, or advance his character in any way. We're advancing Bulk and Skull. So yeah, this is absolutely a Bulk and Skull story.
Yeah, and I am 100% okay with it. Because Bulk and Skull rule.
I don't think we've ever complained about a Bulk and Skull focused episode.
I don't think so either. We've complained when they've made progress and then they took a step back in an episode that wasn't a focus of theirs, but overall we've been
That's
pretty,
different.
yeah, that's different. So yeah. Any final thoughts on Carlos and the Count?
There was some good music in the Oz at the end of the Zord battle that I really liked. Wasserman gonna Wasserman.
Yep. And then, obviously, as mentioned, this is also the final appearance of Principal Kaplan. And also, this is the episode that 100% confirms, because it was never noted at the beginning of Turbo or anything like this. Oh no, or in Zeo, I mean. Because in Zeo is when the others graduate high school. This is the episode
They
that one.
graduate in the turbo, in Turbo, not in Zeo.
No, according to the notes here, Bulk and Skull did indeed graduate from Angel Grove High, although it was off screen and in Zeo.
Oh, Bulk and Skull, yes, okay.
Yeah. So this episode confirms that Bulk and Skull did indeed graduate. So it's like, okay, that's something we never really got official answer to until now, which is nice. And then this would be This would be the first of two times in Power Rangers where a ranger would be turned into a vampire. The next time would be in Mystic Force.
Of course. Yep.
We'll get to that series eventually.
In like 20 years.
Maybe. Anyways, so with that, of the three episodes, which one was your favorite and quick why?
Definitely gonna be the baseball episode, even though I don't like baseball. I just thought that overall the story was better structured and it related more to the Sentai footage, I thought. And I love TJ, so I am happy to enjoy episodes where he gets a chance to really shine and show what a good character he is.
Yep. I agree also with Curveball episode. I also like Carlos and the Count because I thought that that one was just a really good Vulcan Skull episode. So with that. Oh, and by the way, because of every of the events at the end of the episode, Vulcan Skull decided against doing another vampire movie and decided to do a werewolf movie, which the guy delivering the film kind of looked like a werewolf a little bit.
He had some hairy hands.
He had some hairy hands and he had a hairy beard face. But so with that,
Very
Sasha,
scruffy looking.
yes. Sasha, where can the people find you on social media?
What's social media?
It's that thing that we promote ourselves on from time to time.
Oh yeah, the cesspool of evil, right.
Yes,
So you
that
can
too.
find me on Twitter over at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan, and that is also my handle on Blue Sky.
You can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenbaum75, which is the same handle on Blue Sky, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. I almost did Ben's Twitch right there. You could tell how often I've done Ben's. And obviously for the show itself, go to Twitter at VFTG_PR. Click the Linktree link to find everywhere you could find the show at. And with that, until our next turbo-tastic episode, because we're not really in Mighty Morphin, so we really shouldn't be saying more phenomenal. So until our next turbo-tastic episode.
May the power protect us and save us from that terrible pun.
Yes.